to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and today in a special edition of the podcast, we feature a discussion with Ismael Valli, the CEO of YieldSec, a company that has a solution to the problem of illegal casinos and sports bets online. Today's podcast is sponsored by IGT, where the cat's out of the bag. IGT's Prosperity Link wins gold and is named the best slot product by GGB's Gaming and Technology Awards. Get this top performer on your floor. Learn more at igt.com/prosperitylink. Legal sports betting and iGaming were expected to dramatically decrease illegal online gaming, but that hasn't come to pass and illegal gambling websites are still proliferating. Ismael Valli's YieldSec company has developed a platform that enables legal operators to view the operations of the illegal websites by noting their bonuses, odds, and approaches to their customers. Theoretically, this should allow them to understand better what attracts players to gambling websites and adjust their operations accordingly. He spoke with me at G2E in Las Vegas in October. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Ismael Valli, the head of YieldSec, which is a new company having to do with online gaming and preventing illegal online gaming. And that obviously is the key here. We've had the legalization of sports betting in the U.S., and there was the expectation that for many years that you legalize online gaming or sports betting and the bad guys would go away. Not true.
Not true at all, I'm afraid. So look, it's an interesting one that we basically come into this period of, we put labels on things like legalization, regulation, but what we have to look at here is that basically there's always been an existing black market or something. Sure. That there was a bunch of operators there who basically, there was no law, they were offering services. Now that the legal situation has changed, now that you've got legalization, there is the assumption that legal gambling will replace illegal gambling. The problem is that doesn't happen overnight. Right. It doesn't happen immediately unless you start to kind of outreach to those organizations that were in the kind of gray or black market space and start saying, look, we know what you're doing. We know how much money you're making.
Right.
We know where you're active. We know how you're active and how you're moving your money. Mm-hmm. And you either need to get a license, pay for your previous sins, pay for the period where you haven't been part of the licensee structure, but you need to move to a point where government, regulator, legal operators, they all need this to move to a place where it's controlled by society. And for the why do we have legal gambling is probably a place to start here.
Sure.
We have legal gambling to replace illegal gambling, to help provide for our commerce and our communities. And right now we're not seeing that in any jurisdiction on earth where there is a sizable black market pretty much everywhere you go. Wherever we've turned on the YieldSec system and started monitoring, we've seen that there is a heavy black market presence, and that outweighs anything that any government or regulator is telling us in terms of what channelization should be.
Sure.
There's a much bigger presence than anyone's really seen before.
Sure. I was reading up on some of the papers you sent me, and I was really surprised to see how much illegal gambling there still is in Europe. And, we've had online sports betting in Europe for a decade now or more. So, why is that? Why do people go to illegal sites rather than play on something that's legal and trusted?
I think it's a twofold piece, Roger, where basically in new markets, you're seeing that there's always been that presence of illegal gambling. And when you legalize it, it then has an evolutionary crossover period. Mm-hmm. The customers need to realize, okay, I'm not going to bet with these guys anymore. I'm going to go and open an account at MGM or Caesars. They're licensed, they're legal.
Right.
I get certain benefits for moving to them. And in those early days of a legal marketplace, you'll see those bonus offers. You'll see that customer acquisition coming through. What's happening in Europe is we've got mature markets, 15, 20 years old in some cases of legalization and regulation. The problem there is what we call regulation exploitation. That what we're seeing in Europe is, in Germany, for example, they recently licensed in 2019. They introduced a bunch of kind of tests and political kind of agenda-driven, let's see how the gambling machine reacts to a spin delay on slot machines. So they introduced a 5 and 10 second spin delay on slot machine play. That wasn't explained to customers. Customers took that en masse as these games are rigged. But these were games with the legal sites.
Sure, right.
They then went on Google and searched through Facebook, and they started asking questions like, where can I play the old style games?
Right.
And ended up being driven to the black market. And the black market jumped on those search terms and search phrases immediately to say, here are customers looking for us, basically.
Right.
So we're going to offer them our old style products with as many bonuses as possible. You'll find in other markets like the UK and Sweden, you make one change as a government and a regulator, quite often politically motivated, quite often to do things for what we call player protection or responsible gaming. And you'll find that that's responded to by customers going, I don't like that new change. I want to be able to deposit whatever I want whenever I've got the money for it, kind of thing. So you end up in these situations where the black market feeds on that regulation exploitation, that they go looking for certain things that they want to grab hold of. And that means that customers will find, I get the gambling I know and love from the black market. And what I'm getting from the legal marketplace is this slightly amended, slightly kind of diluted form of gambling compared to what I knew and loved based on my 20-year experience online. So you're finding that as regulation grows, governments and regulators have to be really careful to basically go, just because you've been given access to the gambling industry, the legal gambling industry, you have to really try and make sure any changes you introduce are in line with what the legal operators are feeding back to you as, this is what we're going to tell you is what's going to happen. Because if you do things in the vacuum of politics and say, look, the general public find it politically expedient for me to kick this gambling company in the teeth. They find it, it's not a problem because customers lose money to gambling companies, period, whether they're legal or illegal. Customers find it amenable for us to basically say, yeah, we can change the deposit conditions. We can change how much you can deposit per month kind of thing. So when you get that kind of those conditions put in, customers will go looking for on search for, show me some gambling that I know and love, and they'll find a black market willing to service them there.
Also, in the U.S., you know, we've got the situation where, you know, the legislators that legalize it don't really understand it, so that they tack on a huge tax rate on it, or they want to guarantee a profit from their online sports betting operators, which it certainly is not possible unless you reduce the odds for the players. So that kind of pushes the players into illegal gambling as well.
So take a marketplace like New York, for example. New York basically put in a 51% tax rate on sports betting turnover. So that's not on the profitability, which is what most taxation systems are. That's on the stakes placed on bets itself. So you're in this position where anybody who's applied for a license in New York is there because they'd rather be compliant with the regulator. They'd rather build a relationship with the regulator and state government. And they want to get to a point where in the future, hopefully the law changes. If that law doesn't change, those people who are licensed now will happily hand back those licenses and go, you know what? It's too rich for us. Because we're paying you money and we're not able to now afford our staff, our legal operations. We can't even begin to be start to think about being compliant with all these new regulations they're also giving us. And ultimately, we're never going to make a profit here. And the customers don't realize that. So customers want bonuses. Customers want free T-shirts. Customers want tickets to the Super Bowl. How do I pay for all that stuff if I'm not making money? I pay for all that stuff by basically giving up the license and going back into the black market. So there is a real problem in some marketplaces where I know everybody wants a share of the money from the online gaming machine. However, this has to be done sensibly if you want to erase what is a criminal background and a criminal future for our business, and you want to bring this thing under control. So what does everybody want from the betting and gaming machine here? Everybody wants control. Everybody wants revenue from it. Everybody wants no publicity and no bad publicity in terms of, I don't want to hear about players, you know, spending their, all their money on gambling and they can't afford to feed their families. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants those kind of customers. The black market does, however, because all they want is money. And what the main thing the black market understands really well here is you pay the least to get the most. Now, if you don't need to comply with any compliance conditions, if you don't need to make your operations sustainable and legitimate, if you don't need to hire staff in state, if you don't need to run your customer service and operations through legitimate methods, you can make a lot of money in this business by being a crook. You can also make a lot of money in this business if you don't pay any tax. So there is a legitimate path here to go, I know how to make a ton of money in the gaming business. It's called ignore everything legal and just keep making money on the good old-fashioned internet. For the kind of stakeholders in this, so I look at the service that YieldSec builds. We look and we understand everything. We look out and understand everything online. We look at all forms of content, whether it's advertising, websites, mentions on social media. For the advertising partners, the question here would be, okay, well, why do I care who I'm selling advertising to? I could sell it to crookedgambling.com or legalgambling.com. I don't really care, and nor do I even know if I'm Facebook or Google. However, this is weaponized illegal content. So unlike child sexual abuse material, unlike hate speech, unlike revenge pornography, all of those are things that societies have said, we want to get rid of that form of content. It's not good to have that out there. But there's no money attached to that content necessarily.
Right.
Okay? So if Google are told, okay, you need to remove all this stuff that's disinformation and misinformation about vaccines or whatever, Google are like, yeah, we'll take our time getting to that.
Right.
It's going to be a while. If it's gambling content makes money.
Yeah.
Gambling content where it's legitimate and it's been regulated makes a ton of money for the state, for the community, for the legal operators. So you really need to be in a position where you know what money's coming in, you know what you can control. For Google and Facebook now, it's a position of you are accessory after the fact of theft. Once
right.
YieldSec's seen that you're basically
sure.
pushing content that goes to illegal gambling sites, you need to remove that content pretty fast. Those brands and firms are also potential customers of ours because the way we look at it, every legal stakeholder needs to work together on making this marketplace work effectively for everybody.
Sure.
And our North Star on this is basically, if it doesn't benefit our commerce, if it doesn't benefit our community, what will it benefit? It will be benefiting crime.
Okay.
And that's where we need to basically draw the line of, as legal stakeholders, we need to work together. I know that all of us are going to have differences from government and politicians through to legal gambling operators. But unless we start to take a hold of, we can kind of work with each other on this stuff. We don't need to be in each other's soup, but we can hold hands
sure.
to get to that point of, we know what the legal gambling marketplace can deliver for us as a society, and also for us as legal gambling companies, advertising platforms and operators, as well as being regulator and government, knowing that finally what governments really wanted here, if you think back to pre-internet, governments loved the gambling industry because they loved having control of it. Anytime you needed revenue, you could just tap on the gambling door and go, we need $200 million. Could you
right,
give us
sure,
that?
Right.
And the gambling machine would go, yeah, no
yeah,
problem. We can
sure.
do that. You can put the interest rate, you can put the taxation rate up 1 point and you'll be able to deliver tens of millions, if
sure,
not hundreds
right.
of millions more. We need to get back to that point where governments and regulators feel like we have control of the machine without needing to tinker with, this is how the gameplay works. This is how
right.
customer signups work. This is how promotions work.
Right.
Because that's where you start acting like, we're not government anymore, we're the gambling industry
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah,
except
yeah.
we don't really understand how gambling works.
Right, okay.
The cat's out of the bag. IGT's Prosperity Link wins gold, named the best slot product by GGB's Gaming and Technology Awards. A top game performer since being released, Prosperity Link features the player favorite lock and respin bonus and the exciting free games bonus with either scatter or multiplier wilds. Prosperity Link will drive players to your floor with its popular game mechanics. Grab this exciting game while it's hot. Learn more at igt.com/prosperitylink.
So up until now, the legal sports betting and online gaming industry has really depended upon the regulators and the government to shut off the spigot from this illegal gambling. But from what I understand, you know, even if you block their websites, there's ways to get around it.
So, yeah, very good question. So the way that the gambling world works is pure smoke and mirrors on
right.
the illegal side. So on the legal side, we will have one website, Caesars.com.
Right.
We'll have BetCaesars, or we'll have Foxbet, any one of a number of legal brands. They will have one destination brand. They may have what's called redundancy and failovers in case
right.
there's a power outage or something.
Sure.
So they need to send the customer somewhere else. Generally, those will never be used apart from in rare occasions like March Madness and the Super Bowl, when there's a ton of traffic
sure,
and you need
right.
to divert it to other places. In the black market, that's a normal business practice. You will have thousands of mirrors
right.
and thousands of redirects mm-hmm. so that when one website gets seized, 1-800-illegalgambling.com,
right.
that gets seized by a state government or it gets seized by a national government in Europe. That website will be shut off and there'll be a load of publicity. This happens
right.
a lot in Europe.
Sure.
Tons of publicity, let's seize the domain. They're out of business. And people
right.
will be acting, it's almost like having in narco kind of terrorism, where you have the table of drugs
right.
and guns and stuff and money. That's kind of how European governments look at the gambling domain, the URL. You've seized one domain name and you think that's the end of that business.
Right.
That business has not skipped a beat in terms of
right.
its ability to make
no.
money. It's gone to everything else. So 1-800-illegalgambling.com is now 1-800-illegalgambling.a.com,
right.
b.com, c.com.
Sure.
So there are tons of mirrors. And also, customers aren't looking for those websites to be branded destinations like they are with Caesars
right.
and Fox. What they're looking at with illegal gambling is they're responding to advertising. It's all about the marketing and advertising.
Right.
So they are pushing a transactional opportunity. How about you bet Rams today? How about you bet on the Cavaliers today? That's what they're pushing you. So they're right in your feed, especially now that the way that social media works with algorithms, they understand what you're seeing as a customer. So they know we can place ourselves in that person's feed by offering them this particular bet, this particular day, this
right.
particular time, this particular opportunity
based
on what you've been looking at in your history. So all of that reflects what kind of advertising you'll be shown in future. That's what they're buying into. So they're able to give you an algorithm-inflected view of this is the bet you want today. You may not have heard of us, but we're offering you a great price, free t-shirt.
Sure, right.
Free. I mean, one of the recent examples we saw is the Disney Plus show, Obi-Wan Kenobi. When that came out, the black market understood there is a range of 20 to 50-year-old men who want the Star Wars Lego kits.
Sure, right, right.
So they were offering, and this was one of the most trending ads on Twitter and on Facebook and Google, Lego Star Wars for Obi-Wan Kenobi. If you placed a $250 deposit with a black market site that day, you would be sent one of these Lego Star Wars kits free ahead of the release date on Amazon for the Star Wars kits. Nobody got sent the Star Wars kits, but tens of thousands of people made that $250 deposit. So they understood implicitly that's an offer the legal gambling industry would not do. It will attract children, for example.
Right.
But the illegal gambling industry, we don't care.
Yeah.
We'll just happily put that offer out there and see how many people respond. And there's a certain type of illegal operator who's open to doing that kind of stuff to get as much business in as possible, because you don't really care. Again, what's the customer going to do?
Right,
complain?
Right. Sure, right.
Who's he going to complain
exactly,
to?
Exactly, right. Yeah,
because
if
he complains to a regulator, well, the black market has nothing to do with us.
Right.
You need to talk to the police. Law enforcement will generally say, we wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
Until you had a system like YieldSec, we can show you everything that's going on online in that marketplace, in that jurisdiction. So I look at it as a jurisdiction by jurisdiction fight against the black market, and to also optimize what's going on in the legal marketplace, because there are various mistakes that legal operators make, partly because of a lack of knowledge, partly because a lot of these marketplaces are new as well. How should I optimize my website? Which keywords should I use? Which keywords shouldn't I use? Which audiences should I buy on Facebook in lookalike terms? So you need to understand this really holistic picture of what's the body of gambling going on in that marketplace? How do I appeal to the sports betting audience, the casino audience?
Right.
The other problem we have in legal marketplaces is right now in America, we've got more than 30 marketplaces that have sports betting. We've got 6 that have casino and poker.
Right.
So there's a massive lag there. And what does that lag between 6 and 30 mean? Those 24 marketplaces identify us as, okay, you haven't got all the gambling, but people did have all the gambling in the old days before the law changed.
Sure.
And they've still got all the gambling now because they can go to the black market.
And
they're
and
constantly
bringing new
there.
People into
exactly.
it as well.
So what we find in any legalized marketplace is, instead of it being this kind of like, it was black and now it's gone to white conversion, you're finding that it's these layers of gray where what we're ending up with is the mass of new advertising that gets triggered because of legalization. You bring all these big brands with all their kind of resources in. They start advertising on every platform. They create TV shows. They hire celebrities like Jamie Foxx. So now everybody's talking about gambling. Gambling was always there, but now everybody's talking about it. It's become socially acceptable. Now you're finding that the legal industry is growing and the illegal industry is growing with it. So all ships are rising on the same tide, including pirate ships.
Right.
And that's a dangerous place to be, where you're almost stifling the potential for the legal industry because that illegality is growing in line with it, if not in exponentially greater, because you might say that the legal industry is just sports bets. But what about casino? What about poker? What about slots?
Right.
So where does somebody go for that one account experience where I can get bonused, I can get cross-sold into other products? I will end up in the black market again. And I will go to illegal operators, and you'll often find that the growth rate, I gave a speech here yesterday at G2E, and I said that, look, in some marketplaces, we're seeing that the potential for illegal gambling is 8 times the size of the legal marketplace.
Yeah.
So, and that's after legalization.
Yeah. Right.
So what you're finding is, unless there is a kind of legalization isn't solving anything. In fact, it's going to give you a whole bunch of new problems.
Sure.
But unless you're monitoring everything, and that was my mission a few years ago when I came up with the idea for YieldSec, was you need to see everything that's going on. Legal, illegal, irrelevant. We just need to focus on what is the marketplace for gambling in this jurisdiction. So what is it for slots? What is it for sports betting? What is it for poker? You need to be able to see what the advertising is doing. So you need to identify what's going on out there.
Right.
Then qualify. How does the advertising work? Then quantify it. How much is it worth? Now, I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm not hacking anybody's back end to try and get their kind of Quicken books. I'm looking at it in terms of what's the overall traffic that's going to the legal sites? What's the overall traffic to the gambling business generally in that marketplace? And how much does that convert to a value per visit? So that's a YieldSec measure. We use that so that we have an apples and apples way of looking at the world. We look at the legal marketplace. We know all those figures. They're public. They're from the regulator, from each firm. And then we extrapolate that into the illegal sphere to say, We see everything. And again, I'm not worried about talking about this now because people say, okay, that's giving your secret sauce away. Our secret sauce is that we know how we had a scalable military platform we built for that was able to grab all of that content and go, what's this piece of content doing? Mm-hmm. What's it trying to get a customer to do? What's it trying to understand about a customer's behavior to then push them a relevant opportunity? So we got a sense of a very good understanding of what's going on in the marketplace overall. And that marketplace is made up of legal and illegal opportunities. Value those and you start to understand this is how we need to change the law. This is now how we need to act as legal operators. This is how we need to address things like consumer safety. This is how you get those concerns wrapped up. And finally, you can give regulator and government what they want, which is the feeling of tacit control. They understand if we move this lever, this is what happens. Rather than this experimentation we have in many marketplaces to get things like a 10-second delay on slot machines, right, which the marketplace understood as, those machines are rigged then. But those were legal companies you did that to.
Right, exactly.
So nobody, no players understood that, why is there a delay when I press spin?
Right.
And that doesn't happen with these other sites.
Right.
And I don't know if they're illegal or not, but they don't do that.
Right.
And that seems strange to me. Yeah. That when I used to press spin, it used to spin immediately. Now I have to wait.
Right.
Why? And there's no education, and I understand why. Governments don't want to tell everyone about online gambling in case a whole bunch of new people start online gambling,
right,
and then suffer harm from it or something. So there needs to be this, let's start breaking apart the relationships here and the roads that take us to control of the marketplace, more legal gambling than illegal, and where we get from right now, we have these iceberg marketplaces where what we see out there is this nice, bright, white, shining cap on the iceberg. We don't see that it's sitting in this sea of criminality, and we don't see how far down that iceberg goes.
Sure.
And what we think we have are mountain marketplaces where most of what we see is that mountain of legal regulated gambling. And generally, from every marketplace we've gone live in so far, we are seeing iceberg marketplaces everywhere.
Okay. So exactly how do you propose to de-emphasize illegal gambling and eventually wipe it out?
So how do I propose to de-emphasize it?
Yeah.
In terms of, so basically, we're available to work for everybody. When I first came up with the idea, and again, to be clear, I came up with an idea a few years ago. I'd been in operations for 20 years.
Yeah.
So I'd worked in the poker industry, casino industry, sports betting, and I'd taken legal services to number one in a region or global,
sure,
at that time. So I had a good experience of operations, and I thought, early in my academic career, I had 2 law degrees from Oxford University. That gave me a very good understanding of how you needed to make law apply to people through products,
right,
and through a marketplace. What I got to with the gambling problem is, unless you can start to show everybody that this is the entire panorama, the entire landscape,
right,
and the overall environment, everybody will just say, okay, well, that's nice to know. It's
right,
good to have information, but it's not helping us change our relationships here. Legal stakeholders, we've ended up arguing with each other, government, regulator, legal operators, constantly beating each other up,
right,
for the sake of what? The fact that there is a legal industry that is willing to get a license, willing to change its operations, willing to amend everything about its day-to-day ops,
right,
to basically be legal and to be part of the kind of on the side of the legal stakeholders. The fact that those organizations are sometimes investigated, they're sometimes fined for breach of the regulations,
right,
that should be seen as a good thing.
Yeah.
That's the rule of law in,
sure,
action, basically.
Right.
What's a bad thing is when we're not talking about all this other stuff, or in some markets, we're even lying about the fact that, well, we feel that there's 99% channelization.
Right, yeah.
That 99% of the business has gone to legal sources. We know that's a lie.
Yeah.
Okay? It wouldn't even take a system like YieldSec to understand that. Most people know that a lot of governments are playing catch up and trying to say, everything's under control, nothing to see here. That's not the case.
Right.
We know that there's a massive marketplace, and the more changes you make to the gambling machine, the more there's going to be a rise in that illegality, because customers go looking for the gambling they knew and loved. Customers go looking for gambling without spin delays, go looking for gambling without deposit conditions, even go looking for gambling without any KYC or AML
right,
conditions
right,
that will slow down your registration.
Yeah.
So we have a product that's basically elastic based on, that's the event coming up, I need to bet before that 49ers game goes off, therefore I want to get in quickly. If you've got a bunch of other stuff, that means I've got a 15-minute registration process, and then if I put in a $100 deposit, well, now you need to wait 2 days
yeah,
to find out if
right,
that deposit was accepted.
Yeah.
Because you're a new customer. Well, I'm going to go to that guy up the
right,
street
sure,
then. So we need to get to a point of having a semblance of understanding, and then from there we fashion the right controls for the legal marketplace. The legal marketplace, again, I've always characterized YieldSec as an optimization and protection platform. That what I'm trying to do for all legal stakeholders is go, look, there's a bunch of stuff you've done or haven't done. There's a bunch of stuff you've done badly. You need to fix that first.
Right.
Because that's the first opportunity that the illegals are jumping on.
Sure.
Because they can own your own brand name. They can own certain keywords that you should own.
Sure.
And you didn't think about it because you thought you were walking into a nice, bright, white, clean future.
Right.
And it's not.
Yeah.
It's a messy one because we're trying to get rid of what these guys are. In terms of where it goes to from there, work with every legal stakeholder as far as possible in the marketplace. Obviously, our service isn't, it's not, it comes with a cost. I need to pay for the system,
sure.
servers, a bunch of technical tools. I need to pay for the staff and expert staff in each language because we obviously, in a marketplace like America, we're not just looking at English language. We also need to look at Spanish. We need to look at any ethnic minority languages too, because there'll be substantial pockets in those ethnic communities
sure.
of
right.
certain types of gambling. So getting to a point where there is control takes time, takes budget, and it also takes cooperation. But we built the YieldSec platform to foster that cooperation between all legal stakeholders. That even though you may have characterized your relationships in the past by arguing with one another, by fining certain parts of the group, by saying that you guys aren't up to standard, we're going to look at your license, etc. What's worse is what's waiting out there in the black market.
Sure.
That those guys, illegal operators, and again, I take this very clearly that in all marketplaces, there is one view of what the legal marketplace should be. What's in there now are two industries. You have the legal industry and you have the not legal industry.
Right.
These are guys who are basically open to, we want to see how legality moves. In some marketplaces, we may get a license just
right.
to kind of make us look from the outside
sure.
like we're a legit stand-up company. But if you are taking revenue from a marketplace that has a regulated system and it has taxation and you're not paying taxes and you're not licensed, you are thieving money.
Right.
You're stealing, plain and straightforward.
Sure, right.
So in my view, on a jurisdiction by jurisdiction basis, if you don't have the license, if you're continuing to offer service, you're stealing regulated revenue and you are stealing consequent taxation.
Sure.
Now, theft bites a lot harder than gaming law in any jurisdiction. So where I got to from that background academically with law was, gaming law is often new. Gaming law is often different, especially if you look at America,
sure.
there's 50 different sets of gaming
right.
law. If you look at criminal law and theft, pretty much the same everywhere you go.
Yeah.
200 years plus it's been on the statute books for, hundreds of years of case law precedent, and everybody knows what theft is. Theft of that revenue
right.
and theft of taxation bites even harder.
Yeah.
So if you start going after this on the basis that you guys are not just breaking down the legal system, you're not just leakage, you're not
right.
just skin,
yeah.
you are theft. This becomes a lot easier for law enforcement who can now start going, okay, we understand theft real well.
Yeah.
When it comes to gaming law, we don't understand that. We don't know if we can even act on gaming
yeah, sure.
law as
right,
law
right,
enforcement.
Yeah.
But theft and stealing, we know what that is. We
right.
know exactly how to prove that.
But when you get a company that wants to engage in crypto and you know wants to get around this KYC, people use VPNs all the time. I mean, it's hard to catch these people. I mean, how do you do that?
It's difficult to catch them, but I built this first and foremost as a follow the money solution.
Yeah.
So where it came from was a terrorist platform that was looking for people posting terrorist fermenting content.
Right.
That
okay.
They were looking for putting beheading videos and all this kind of stuff
right.
online, and to create an audience from that, which they could then turn into the future wave of terrorist attacks. How we adapted that was basically to go, I'm looking not for people who are after hearts and minds and politics and territory. I'm looking for people who are after audience,
right.
dollars and cents, and customers. But it's an analogous mission. All that a black market really represents is a commercial insurgency. The same as in terrorism, that represents a political insurgency.
Right.
So we had an aligned idea of what the system needed to create, how we go after those people. And again, just to touch on the VPN point you mentioned, VPNs used to be an issue, okay?
Right.
So 10 years ago, VPNs were definitely a problem where you couldn't tell where the traffic was coming from.
Right.
And a lot of black market sites were pushing on the customers, use a VPN,
sure.
because then no one knows where you are.
Yeah,
it's good
sure.
for you,
right.
it's fairness.
Yep.
You don't pay any tax, we'll give you bonuses
right.
all day long. Nowadays, most people don't bother using VPNs because most gaming product can't deal with it.
Right.
So because most gaming product is nowadays live sports betting, live casino,
right.
with live dealers dealing cards and spinning roulette wheels. Most of those products rely on fast connections. If you want to get your bet on,
right.
you can't have a VPN running because
right.
it adds latency and time to
sure.
your connection, and that means you'll miss your opportunity. So VPNs went from being a massive problem to no problem at all
okay.
today. So VPNs have just
right.
become this kind of, it's still one thing that gets raised all the time is, what about VPNs? VPNs simply don't matter because customers have moved on in terms of we want those new hot products.
Sure, right.
So we want live sports betting and we want live dealer casino.
The bad guys have figured out how to get around VPNs.
Bad guys haven't worked out how to get around that, and there's nothing that's going to give them what they need in terms of VPNs have just become this thing that's used for illegal streaming of shows like Game of Thrones and that kind of stuff. So that's where the VPN use is still there. And even there, if you want to get House of the Dragons had its 8th episode on Sunday, if you want to watch that 5 minutes after it's airing on HBO, you're not going to want to use a VPN because it adds to that delay again.
Sure.
So VPNs went from being, VPNs might get back to actually being used for what they're meant for. It's being used by people who need to conceal their identity because they're journalists in war zones or something. And not just customers for gambling sites that want to shave a few points. So we've got back to a point where there's a fairly even way of looking at the marketplace, and we're able to see everything that's going on out there.
Sure.
So from all of that activity, you break it down into, this is all the activity, what's legal activity, what's illegal activity. From there, you move down to, okay, what's that illegal activity doing? How's it affecting each stakeholder? Is this going after a particular legal operator, BetMGM, for example? Right. Is it going after a particular sports opportunity, a bet on an NFL game? Funnel that down to who we need to tell out of our legal stakeholder panels. Is it the operators who need to make changes? Is it the regulator? Is it law enforcement that needs to be told? Right. This particular group are just basically opening scam accounts, like the Star Wars Lego example. They're just opening accounts to get people to deposit money. They are not sending any Lego to anybody. They are not even there to take bets from people.
Right.
All they want is to basically take on a ton of money and disappear. We see that particularly in Latin American marketplaces. Latin American marketplaces, the nature of scams will be one team A versus team B. They will just own all of the content around team A versus team B.
Sure.
Team A won't be playing team B all the time, but whenever that opportunity comes up, they will light up 10 to 15,000 different sites and keywords on the internet. They will be the number one search result for that team A versus team B opportunity. And from there, they will basically push people into open accounts with bookmakers you've never heard of, take the money, disappear. So you see that these scams come up, but again, there is a way now of managing it, not just to say, here is the list of shame that we found on the internet.
Yeah.
Here's what to do about that list of shame is the big difference.
Okay. So one last question. Your clients would be, I guess, everybody in the legal side of the business, from governments to operators.
We have a product for all the legal stakeholders. So from a government side, we sell a product called YieldSec Ecosystem. That's a view of the entire marketplace. Yeah. So that shows you at the high level, this is what's going on. What it doesn't include is a government doesn't need to understand how, as BetMGM, you need to make changes to your SEO, to your keywords, make changes to your advertising spend, and also make changes to your customer account sign-up process so that you're not 7 minutes versus 2 minutes for the illegals kind of thing. So ecosystem product for government and also for trade associations who need to see that full view of the marketplace. From there, we go to YieldSec Industry. That's for legal operators and legal suppliers. Legal suppliers, I'd mentioned just to touch on briefly, is use an example like Evolution Gaming, so the world's largest live dealer casino supplier.
Right.
They suffered a rumor last year that led to them losing $11 billion in market cap in 13 days.
Right.
So in November last year, somebody accused them of having black market revenue in their revenue chain. They denied it. That denial was not sufficient to stop a run on that stock where it was being short sold and still suffers the ill effects of that nearly a year later now. That they never properly recovered from that, and it was something they couldn't, as the company accused of it, how do you deal with that accusation? You can say that we're not doing that, but if they had YieldSec running in the background, we hadn't launched then, just to be clear, YieldSec's able to say, we know where your products are being used. We've looked at everything on the internet in your marketplaces.
Okay.
We can tell you that Evolution products are used here in New Jersey, here in United Kingdom, here in Sweden. We know that you're licensed in each of them. We can even show you how much revenue attaches to the usage of those products. But they weren't in a position to say there's no neutral, independent third party who can vouch for us here. So we're also trying, again, our mission is commerce, our communities.
Right.
We need to look at online gaming companies are not just invested in by online gaming executives anymore.
Right.
Online gaming companies are invested in by pension funds. Okay?
Yeah.
Because this is a mainstream activity now.
Sure.
It's entertainment and it's part of the culture and community. You need to get to an understanding of if you kind of treat the gambling industry like some kind of piñata, it will deliver money for you in the short term, but if you beat it up reputationally, where is it going to be in the future? For your commerce and your community.
Right.
So that's the point to understand here, is that you want this thing to run fairly, you want it to run on rails so that customers are cared for, so that the right type of people interact with it, so that it produces onshore jobs. It produces in-marketplace community effects. Because look at how much taxation the gambling industry provides. Right. If there wasn't gambling in the United States, education budgets, physical education budgets wouldn't be there. Right. If there wasn't the healthcare that came from gambling in marketplaces like Canada. So Atlantic Lottery in Canada, they produce, for the five provinces that Atlantic Lottery covers on the east coast of Canada, they produce around 50% of the healthcare budget. Yeah. So if you don't have them, if they're not running optimally, because we've just allowed them to basically deal with black market competitors
who don't answer to anybody, they're
eroding that budget, and they are stealing money that should be going to the community.
Right.
So whether you're a gambler or not, you do have skin in this game.
Okay? Sure.
You do want to go to a hospital that has cancer research and cancer healthcare. So you want to make sure that, okay, well, why don't you have those new kind of machines? Right. Why don't you have an MRI scanner? Well, not enough people gamble with the legitimate local marketplace gambling company anymore. So when you see a decline in these monopoly positions, and whatever a marketplace wants legally, if a marketplace wants to be a monopoly, that's your business.
Yeah.
If a marketplace wants to liberalize and have 100 licensees, that's your business. Where we start and point out that, look, tangibly, look at what's going on with the dynamics in the marketplace. So a state like New York, running a 51% tax rate on stakes is not going to last in the long run, okay?
Sure,
you will not deliver the money you want. In the meantime, you're getting tons of money through the front door from 9 or 10 licensees. But you should have 100 licensees paying 15 to 20% gross profit tax because it makes more money.
Right.
Because it means that there's greater participation with a group of competitive companies. Whereas what you have right now is a group of big publicly traded firms who are there because, well, you kind of have to be. It's New York.
Sure.
It's good for advertising overall, and maybe we can build the right relationship with the regulator.
Right.
Rather than it being about hope, let's make it about tangible, what's the benefit here?
Sure.
Let's show you the dollars and cents value of what you are driving versus the dollars and cents value of what you could drive.
Right.
Okay? And show you who is taking away that potential.
Right.
And that will be a bunch of crooks who've lined up around the edge of the marketplace,
right,
and they're going, you know, we're going to spend the least and make us so much money from this marketplace because you got it all wrong. You didn't optimize well. You're too busy arguing with each other on the legal side of the fence that you don't even know we're here.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Right. Well, Ismael, I think this is a great tool here. I'm really want to follow up with you. Maybe next G2E we can talk and talk about, you know, how it's really been applied, because I think it's really a necessary item here, and I wish you well, and I think in the next year I think the industry will realize that.
Thank you very much.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT, where the cat's out of the bag. IGT's Prosperity Link wins gold and is named the best slot product by IGGB's Gaming and Technology Awards. Get this top performer on your floor. Learn more at igt.com/prosperitylink. To learn more about how illegal online gambling has continued to proliferate, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.